Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
So the first thing
before we begin, China's going to collapse soon. Next year, they're going to go through a big recession. Get careful. Be careful. So for those of you about to tune out, you about to go cook and take care of your kids, keep your eye on China. Things are going to get really tough next year. My China, apologies. Should I go ahead?
China will collapse. All right, let's get back to that later on.
They always say, it's not true. I know it's going to be a think piece tomorrow. Ian's wrong again. Okay, give it a few months. Michael Saylor, Bitcoin 20,000, said I was crazy, said Michael Saylor wouldn't leave, and here we are.
So let's get right into this. Bitcoin hit 24,000, the highest price has been in 2 months. What price will it hit by the end of the year?
I think Bitcoin will probably get up to like 34,720. It's going to be a slow push up. The world is like really just, and we'll talk about Michael Burry later, but the hedge funds, macro investors, institutional investors are just really resetting the prices that should be, they should be bought in at. We kind of did like a dead cat bounce and we're like in the middle range. This isn't the best time to buy. We'll probably hit 34,000, some change, maybe get up to 35,000 and slide back down, but we should end up positive. We'll have some positive growth in Bitcoin for the year. S&P is pushing up. Everyone put in chat, what's the number I said we should hit for S&P by end of year? We're getting close there. And I think by 2024, like Bitcoin will be back in that 60, 70, possibly 80 range. So you want to hold on tight, but it'll be worth it for a few years for you to hold on to it.
Okay.
So we're talking a longer term investment.
Anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about Bitcoin, but we should also pay attention to what Ethereum's doing.
Well, I'm going to Ethereum there? Next. I want to see if you want to talk about Bitcoin.
I mean, obviously, we say this all the time. Like, I'm not trading it, so it's a long-term investment. So the money goes in, it stays there. But it's interesting. Like, some people who have been waiting, hopefully, like you said, got into it when it got down to 19.9 or 19.7. Because even at 24, you've made profit. If it gets up to 34, you made even more profit. And profit, so we always try to figure out where's the bottom. When it pulls back 60, 70%, we've seen the volatility in it. If you've studied the history of it, you know that, all right, anywhere between 70 to 83, 85% is the time that it usually hits its bottom. And so we got to that point. If your research said it, then you shouldn't have invested in it. But again, we keep it long-term. I'm not trading it. We're going to stay in the position.
Yeah, I say Bitcoin and Ethereum are the two that you should hold long-term. Everything else you should trade. So I know some of you like, you hate every crypto. I don't. I just don't want you guys to lose a bunch of money. But Shiba, Doge, Luna, you know, all the ones that are not the top two, swing trade those. And if you want to day trade them. But Bitcoin and Ethereum, you should hold. I'd like the return, I think, over the last 10 years to Bitcoin, if you held it, it's like 210,000% return.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
You can't argue with that. Argue with the math. Yeah. Just hold.
So, all right. So let's talk about Ethereum, the mighty, mighty Ethereum is back, has risen. Like the Phoenix is up 50%, I believe, this month.
Yeah, yeah. From the low.
Ethereum 2.0 on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Ethereum.
Yeah.
Is Ethereum good now?
Good question. So it has risen. Again, another, just the same story as Bitcoin. We saw it pull back to a 1600 level. Obviously now it got up to 2000, pulled back a little bit, but the news of that, the merge that's happening, right? So I think they gave us a date over the weekend, saying September 15th is going to move from proof of work to proof of stake, which means less energy intensive as far as how they're going to produce, less rewards being given, and more of a proof of stake situation, which is obviously going to make it a more efficient coin or a more efficient blockchain to build on. And so that is going to happen. They say in the 15th to the 19th, they've already tested. I think last week they had the third trial of the merger and it went successful. And so Vitalik came out, I think probably over the weekend, and said, so those are going to be the dates to look out for. So it had a nice ride. Like you said, it's up 52% from its lows. Ethereum is something that we spoke about, I mean, over and over. We talked about being the highway for all these blockchains, these coins to be built on, especially from a usage standpoint. So we're long on Ethereum.
I'm going to say something that I normally don't say. I don't know. So I'll give you guys a target. So 29.54.80. is a price target that we could hit. I just haven't done all the reading, given the fact that I was sick. I haven't had a chance to go through like all of the reading and research. I do think, look at, once again, BlackRock, Vanguard. And I know people are like, hey, that doesn't matter. Last year it was like they would never have influence. And now we see BlackRock and Coinbase start to have a partnership. You're going to see JP Morgan, Citadel, and a few others have a bigger impact on the price movement of Ethereum. Go check and see how big they're buying to give you an insight if it's going to do well. Like if the top five hedge funds are buying it like crazy, then it'll be a okay. So I'm not playing both sides. I'm just giving a price to where it could go by end of year. And if you're holding it, you should be holding it for a 5-year period anyway, as with any long-term investment. Those that Bitcoin and Ethereum are going on record are the only two I think you should not be trading. You should be holding if you believe in them.
Yeah, well, anybody that watches Market Mondays knows that I've been pretty consistent when it comes to Ethereum. I think it's the most important cryptocurrency. I think that it is.
Why is that by chance? To play God's advocate.
God's advocate. Because of it is use, right? Like, you know, things are built on the Ethereum, blockchain. Bitcoin is the most popular one. But outside of it being traded and outside of it just being Bitcoin, which is like the brand name for cryptocurrency, has kind of become like Band-Aid. That's it. Where Ethereum is a whole ecosystem within itself, and it's the largest one. They have competitors, Solana, different things of that nature, but there's still really no competition when you look at it. So being that it's the second biggest crypto, but a whole ecosystem, and it's improving. I feel like it's the most important cryptocurrency and will continue to be the most important cryptocurrency moving forward. And I feel like Ethereum's here to stay. I don't think that it's going to collapse. Of course, it's going to have ups and downs. Cryptos have up and down. Like, that's crypto. Yeah. If you don't want up and down, then you can't invest in cryptocurrency. But long haul, I believe in Ethereum. I have always believed in Ethereum. And I think that Ethereum will be here for a very long period of time.
I'll say this too. If we stay in a crazy interest rate environment and we stay in this like recession like economy while the market goes up and banks are more valuable, yeah, Ethereum will have a lot more value for sure, because the banks will start to integrate it a lot more. For those you don't, you know, get the take, go look at the episode that we had with BitBoy, which I think was a great episode. Yeah, Ethereum will be, because every recession, there's new products, new services that are ushered in. Ethereum could be one of the ones that are integrated a hell of a lot faster. So when I was saying, hey, I think the banks are going to take over or maybe destroy, his thesis was where they're going to use Ethereum to integrate it into the banking system. So yeah, if we stay in an environment where interest rates are high, tech stocks are down, Peloton underperforms. If banks do better, Ethereum is going to have a very important place in that banking system to help banks dominate even more.
Yeah. And the low that I'm looking at here was in July 17th. It got down to 993. And so right now it's currently at 1886. So if somebody obviously entered the crypto space at that time, mm-hmm. we've made profit. I mean, I think we're right at the mark. It was around April, May, when it was teetering around 2000. Obviously, it hit its high at 4,800 in last October. So just interesting to watch. But this is why we talk about being patient and understanding the volatility and understanding that this asset class is a little bit different than the market, right? Like, these things are very volatile and it moves in a very fast way. But if you can understand the charts when you're trading stocks, then, I mean, you're going to have the same principles that you can use when you're trying to trade crypto. It's just that it's a lot more volatile.
If you guys need an entry, 15.4470 is a good place to get in if you haven't got in already as well. It's going to slide back down, but that's a good place to be able to get in. And don't buy today. Wait for that price. Please put in chat, patience is what pays me. So wait for those right prices and you'll be able to get in and take advantage of the upside of it. Again, this is for long term. So for those of you that are like taking my prices and remixing them and giving them to your cousin for a 2-day swing trade, this ain't it. I saw a lot of y'all in Atlanta. Man, you let me down. No, you let me down. I said 5 years. I'm sorry. No gambling. No gambling. Hold for the long term.
And here's a rule of thumb, just in investing, period. Always bet on the ecosystems. So Amazon is an ecosystem. Apple is an ecosystem. What I mean by that is, like, if Apple goes down, it's not just Apple going down. All of the apps in the App Store that rely on Apple, all of the, like, these are things that have to go down. So it's
our economy will go down.
Yeah. It's like Nino Brown. Like, you know what I'm saying? When it was like, it's bigger than Nino Brown. Like, when you, some people are just too big to fail, because if you take them down, everybody falls. Yeah. So I feel like Ethereum is that for crypto. Ethereum's too big to fail. And if Ethereum fails, it's going to have a tremendous ripple effect, even bigger than Bitcoin. Bitcoin will have a tremendous psychological effect, and a tremendous economic effect. Mm-hmm. But if Ethereum goes down, it's going to have a ripple effect across the whole ecosystem. So you have to look at it like this. There's trillions and billions of dollars invested into crypto, but mm-hmm. most of it is with hedge funds and institutions. So they have a vested interest for the whole crypto space not to fail. So being that they have a vested interest in the whole crypto space not to fail, they have to keep some coins up. Like Ethereum has to be caught until they have a equal competition that is willing to take it out. You can't afford for Ethereum to fail, because it's going to be catastrophic for the whole entire space, and it's going to cost a lot of people money. And at the end of the day, nobody wants to lose money. You don't invest to lose money, especially at the highest levels. So yeah. Ethereum is too big to fail.
And even like from a dominant standpoint, I don't know if anybody ever looks at that, but I'm looking at it right now on CoinMarketCap. I remember the days when Bitcoin dominance, the percentage used to be in the 60s and the 70s. Yeah. If you look now, it's at 40%.
Yeah,
Ethereum's at 20%. And so that gap has closed substantially about those two coins, those two cryptocurrencies, about how much they affect the overall space. So that's interesting to look at.
Yeah, I see what you did with the ripple effect.
Shout out.
I mean, where else are you going to get New Jack City and Above the Rim in a show? I mean,
shout out to all the Ripple and XRP enthusiasts.
They are here.
Burry dumps all of his stocks except for one.
Yeah.
What should that tell us about what's coming in the market? So for historical reference, if you don't know who Michael Burry is, if you haven't watched the movie The Big Short, you should. Very, very good. He's the one that made billions of dollars shorting the market in 2008 for the housing crash. So, you know, he became legendary for that situation. And now, obviously, anytime that he speaks, people take it very seriously because of what happened in 2008. So he's, I guess, predicting that a very, very cold winter in stocks is coming. Mm-hmm. We've had a nice little rebound the last week or two, but he's not feeling it. So what's the deal with it?
So, yeah, I just want to frame this up. Right. So. Right. There was 13 positions that Scion had. That's the group that his firm, right? They had 13 stocks that they invested in. Google was one of them. They sold that off. Meta was one. They sold that off. The one that they did keep is called Geo Group. Mm-hmm. You ever heard of Geo Group? Geo Group is a Florida-based company that invests and operates private prisons. Mm-hmm. So they bought over $3 million in shares of the Geo Group. And since then, that stock has gone up 12%, which is interesting. Out of everything to sell off, I mean, you had Fortune 100, like Google, Alphabet. You had Alphabet and you had Meta, which is another, you know, top 10 as far as market cap. But you let those go and you kept the company that invests in private prisons. And if you ever, I mean, we've talked about this in detail about the impact that private prisons have on our communities for sure, and how, you know, they profit off of making prisoners. So that's interesting. I'll let you go. I'll finish it up.
Yeah. The reason, let's address the private prison thing. I'm anti-investing in prison. I don't care how much money is involved. I would never invest in the sector. The reason why they did though, is because it's an indication of who's going to be in office when election cycles turn over. So if you talk to anybody politically, they're pretty much telling you like, hey, these next 3 to 4 years, politically, the landscape is going to change very aggressively and very fast. But the reason why he sold off Meta, he also had an Apple short that he got rid of. Now we're just in the middle. It's not an ideal time to initiate any buys. So if you're looking to put capital to use right now, things aren't low enough to buy. They're not high enough to short, so we kind of just ride in the middle. But since crime is going up, we're going to have a change politically. Hate to say it, I don't see how Biden could win re-election unless The Rock runs with him and the current VP sits down. And we can talk about the Trump thing later with the FBI, but they are potentially propping him up for a run again. Things are going to change very fast. And that's why I'm saying now, if China collapses on top of that next year, which, you know, I know some of you going to be like, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but home sales are down 28.6% in China. Private investment homes are down 12.3%. So if home sales are down 28%, and I know everybody on Instagram, every realtor is telling you the market's still going up. No, it's not. China is our parent. So if they have the flu financially, we're going to get pneumonia next year or COVID-25, right? And things are going to be bad. And we're going to go through a period for maybe 2 or 3 years where it feels like 99 through 2001, 2002 all over again, where we're just floating up and down and we're not having any breakout movement. Private equity is deploying capital a little slower. We're just not in a great economic environment. The great part is if you're an investor and you can wait this out, the number one advantage that we have as retail investors is that we can hold longer than most institutions. That's where all the money is. So we have 14 years of quantitative easing, free flowing money. Now the people that can actively invest and be patient and hold for long term are going to win. So when everybody was getting them easy option trade, y'all still trading options or no? Not y'all. I'm talking to
the audience. I'm about to say. Raise your hand.
Easy penny stocks. I know it was a little war and campaign against me. Hey, where are we now? Kathy, having issues. You can't cycle through all those stocks and all those trades. Now we're going to see who actually can invest, but it's going to be a game of long term. So please look at the big picture, the macroeconomic environment. I know it seems scary, but this is the time that you want. Everybody in 2020 was like, damn, I wish the market would come down. Here we are. Now you get an opportunity to build for the future, suffer and sacrifice for 2 or 3 years to be able to get your family in the position that you want to be. And if you're scared in this market to invest, either you have not listened to me or you have not done your research. That's it. And yes, listen to Michael Burry, because damn near everything he said and predicted has come true.
So, all right, let's talk about this China situation, since you referenced China a few times so far this show. You said China at the beginning, you said China will collapse. You want to put that into context? I'm gonna give you opportunity to put this into context.
Mike, clip this up. China going to fall. So I'm going to do like all the spicy. I've learned.
What's the first domino, Ian? Is it the housing market?
Yeah, it's the housing market, because they're going through what we really went through in 2007 and 2008. Like, two things. I told you guys last year. Now, if y'all don't listen, that don't have nothing to do with me, baby. Evergrande, number one. Now, if the following 4, 2 through 5 fall apart, and now, if you saw a couple weeks ago, they had military trucks in front of the bank saying, you can't take your money out of our bank because that is considered an investment of ours. What is that call for those of you who work in the financial industry? So now, if you can't withdraw money and the real estate market is soft, to say the least, and then you got SoftBank, who was throwing money around like they were spending money in Magic City into all these startups, and most of them didn't do well. What does that tell you? They went through a cycle of growth, of grandeur, how we went through in 2007 to 2008, and now they're going to pay the price. And now, because they own a lot of our debt and intellectual property, we are going to feel it as well. So I know people are not going to agree. My job is to not tell you what you want to hear. My job is to tell you the truth. And let's be very honest. Put yes in chat if you've heard me say crazy stuff like this before every hedge fund, before Buffett, and then 3 months later, it's like, yeah, this is why the market is falling. You'll make a lot more. Just listen. I'm going to be real. Just listen to what I tell you. If not, the people who say that I'm wrong, tell them to put some money in your pocket. If I made you money, let me get yes in chat. We're going to end all debating. I know everybody want a debate show and y'all want to do $1 million worth of game stock edition. No. It's a big show here.
The big show. The big show.
The biggest.
I clipped this up.
The big show.
Oh, okay. Hot take. Ian.
It's database. Evergrande is bigger.
But when you say collapse, yeah, I mean, what do you actually mean by collapse? Because that's a very Ian. This is something Ian. This is China, bro. This is the world's strongest economy in the next 10 years. This isn't just a regular country. This is China.
Mathematically, if a country or any entity, like at what point, how much risk and how much leverage can you use before it has negative ramifications on your GDP or on your business? There's no business that is too big to fail. No country. See it with our country right now.
That's true.
America's Hulk Hogan right now. Last night, Ric Flair. Woo. Nature Boy. Was that in the 80s? Not right now. Hanging on by a thread. If we took Apple away, Microsoft, Google, man, we'd be third world country. It's scary, but
third world country.
Take Apple and Microsoft and Google out of our economy.
That's top four in the world, though. I mean,
what is the GDP? Someone put it in chat. What's the market cap of Apple, Microsoft, and Google? Subtract that from the GDP. What percentage of GDP do those three companies add to our economy? Is America better now than it was even 20 years ago?
Those are all billion-dollar companies.
Well, that's like saying if you take LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Steph Curry away from the NBA. I mean, if you take the best, yeah, of course. Like
that's, yeah, yeah. But look at it like this: the rest of the S&P is Eric Snows.
Shout out to Eric Snow.
Eric Snow Cousins. I don't want no issue. I'm just saying.
Shout out to Eric Snow.
But like there, okay, even when we get to talking about Bitcoin, Ethereum, Algorand, XRP, these are coins. Like there's been more innovation in the coin market in the last 5 years than there's been innovation in corporate America in the last 50. Even Tesla, without Elon, Tesla's a cute Ford. He's the driving force behind it. If Vitalik ran Tesla, nobody would want a Tesla. Yes or no?
Yes or no?
I know everybody thinks these are hot takes. Listen, go and Josh will say the same shit, and people will be like, "Oh my god, it was Jesus!" Oh my god, just take this shit as law.
I'm 51st law right here. the ramifications, right? I mean, obviously too big to fail. So I'm thinking, like, obviously we saw what happened when we had economic downturn. The government does whatever it takes. Yeah. I'm assuming, I mean, from China, they would probably do the same. But I know most people are wondering, like, obviously their housing market, how's it going to affect ours directly? Their banking system, how's that going to affect us here directly? Obviously, yeah, we don't bank with China. It's not even something that we do. So how will it affect, I guess, the average American if that does happen?
If they have a pullback. And when I say crash, I mean, I don't mean collapse and then they're going to go like, they're going to fall apart. Like the economy will be down for 2 or 3 years and then they'll initiate like a bailout package as well. And then things will be fine. So I don't mean like they're going to collapse and then fucking fall into the ocean.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.